Habakkuk chapter 3. We'll start reading this morning in verse 16 of Habakkuk chapter 3. So glad for everybody here in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank God. Thank God. Habakkuk, Old Testament, minor prophet, just before Zephaniah, just after Nahum. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Listen to this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning, from verse 19, he will make me to walk upon mine high places. I want to preach to you about living on the high places. Father, we're thankful this morning for the privilege that we have to worship God. Thankful today, Lord, that you've assembled us together in the name of Jesus. Thankful today, Lord, that we have the Word of God. My, what a privilege it is to have the Word of God. Oh, God, it's precious to us. It is our life. We thank you, Lord, for the promises you've given us in the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Feed our souls this morning, Lord. May the anointing of God be upon me to be a blessing to these people here. I know you've brought us together to bless us and to help us this day. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us would reach out for the Lord, his presence, his power, his blessings today. We'll give you the glory and honor in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Living on the high places. In the book called by his name, the prophet Habakkuk speaks of his struggles and details his journey from the lowlands of despair to the high places of joy. In his closing testimony, which I read to you in this passage this morning, leads us to believe that Habakkuk clearly expected to dwell habitually in the heights. I would venture to say that many of us sitting here on these pews this afternoon are living in the low places, walking in the valley. Our vision is limited. Our soul is sorrowful, perhaps even despairing. Circumstances of life beat us down, rob us of hope, and cast a cloud over our existence. But we can learn something from the life of Habakkuk, the prophet of God. And God has given us a lesson here in this book to show us the way out of our despair and defeat and give us hope and happiness. We can live on the high places. I want to demonstrate from the life of Habakkuk three things. First of all, his disappointment with God. Secondly, his dialogue with God. Thirdly, his delight in God. First of all, we see Habakkuk's disappointment with God. Habakkuk could not understand the inactivity and the silence of God in the face of persistent violence and wickedness in Judah. He tells us in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Why dost thou show me iniquity and caused me to behold grievance. That is, why do you tolerate these things, God? Spoiling and violence are before me, and they are that raise up strife and contention. The law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. The wicked compasseth the righteous, and wrong judgment proceedeth. And Habakkuk is baffled by the silence of God while wickedness is triumphing in the land. Neither could he understand God tolerating a seeming injustice of a wicked people brutally dominating a people more righteous than them. And he tells us in verse 13 of Habakkuk chapter 1, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he?" Here's the silence of God. Perhaps there have been times you have wondered about the silence of God, and how it is that God withheld his hand of judgment in the face of deliberate wickedness and sin and degradation. And this was the conundrum, this was the problem, this was a perplexing problem that Habakkuk faced. Habakkuk was hindered by his focus on the perplexing problems around him. He had lost his focus on the unchanging God, that God had manifested himself over and over again in the history of God's people, that God had done many miracles in behalf of his people. Habakkuk had lost his focus on God, and his focus was now on the perplexing problems that he saw around him. From that disappointment with God, Habakkuk begins a dialogue with God. He questions God. As I read to you in these verses, he questions God about the problems that he sees around him that he cannot understand. But Habakkuk is not like some who cast away their confidence in God because they cannot understand the evil that's going on in the world around them. Habakkuk questions God, but he gives God a chance to answer him. And God does answer him. You see in verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 1, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved." And verse 2, "And the Lord answered me." You understand that prayer is not just a one-way street. Habakkuk has asked God some questions. He said, "I waited for an answer, and the Lord answered me." This is dialogue. When the conversation's not just going one way, it's a two-way conversation. The Lord answered me. And the Lord's answer consisted of three parts. Number one, the Lord told Habakkuk, divine justice will be manifested in due time. What you see now, it won't always be that way. Divine justice will be manifested in due time. Secondly, God told Habakkuk, be patient. He said to him in verse 3 of chapter 2, "The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." So he counseled patience. Habakkuk, be patient. What you see now, you're perplexed by it, you don't understand it, but there'll be an answer. You will see God's hand. Just be patient. Wait. tarry. Thirdly, God said to Habakkuk, in spite of all these things that you do not understand, trust me. Trust me. Trust me through it all. Trust me when you're perplexed. Trust me when you don't understand. In verse 4 of chapter 2, he said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. In other words, God said to Habakkuk, I know you don't understand now, but trust me, the just shall live by his faith. When he don't understand, he still believes. When he cannot understand, when he cannot perceive, when he cannot get a clear understanding, but yet he still believes. He trusts God. This is the characteristic of the just. This is the characteristic of the saved. The just shall live by his faith. Trust me, God said. I'm telling you this morning that you can have a dialogue with God too. You can talk to God and God will talk to you. Sometimes we sing a song here, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, and my eyes be filled with tears. But just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. It's not a talking to Jesus, it's a talking with Jesus. It's a dialogue. We talk to him and he talks to us. A little talk with Jesus makes it right. He had a dialogue with God. Finally, he moved from disappointment with God to delight in God. Habakkuk's talk with God transported him from the valley shadows to the mountain sunshine. He recovered his focus on the faithfulness of God. And in chapter 3, where I took my text from, Habakkuk is going over the history of the people of God and recounting God's glory from Mount Sinai all the way to the conquering of the land of Canaan. God displaying his power on Mount Sinai, opening up the Red Sea, fighting the battles for the children of Israel. He regains his focus on God's greatness and God's power. And he begins to delight in the Lord. He's no longer expressing disappointment in God, but he's expressing delight in God, saying in verse 18 of my text, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. My. He's walking on high places now. He's moved from that low land, that valley experience, to the heights. Now he's walking on high places and rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. The psalmist had a similar experience. Some of you Bible readers will be familiar with this. Psalm 73. The psalmist there tells how that he was so discouraged because he saw the prosperity of the wicked. Listen to what he said. In his perplexity, his discouragement over the fact that the wicked seemed to fare better than the righteous, he said, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. The psalmist felt cheated by God. Look how the wicked are prospering. And he bemoans his own state, saying in verse 13, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. I don't want to say this out loud, lest I discourage somebody else, he says. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. But things changed when the psalmist went to the house of God. And he says in verse 17, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. So I'm telling you that God brought this psalmist out of the valley of discouragement and perplexity and brought him to the mountaintop of understanding the ways of God. And I want you to understand that the Lord who spoke to that psalmist and let him know that God had a plan for the righteous and there was a blessed end that belonged to the righteous. That same God has brought you here today, and you are here to hear from God. The psalmist saw the ultimate end of the wicked and the blessing of the righteous. He says in verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Afterward receive me the glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all of thy works. Some of you here, no doubt this afternoon, you have been tempted to doubt the goodness and fairness of God. You have perhaps felt that life is not fair, wondered why God don't step in and fix things. You've walked with bowed head and grieving heart behind the casket of a loved one. Some of you have watched your savings dry up and work slip through your fingers. Some of you have been broadsided by sickness, afflictions that limit your activities. Some of you have had dreams dashed by harsh realities of life. People have disappointed you. And maybe family members have forsaken you. And accidents have happened to you. And all kinds of problems come to us in life. And sometimes these things rob us of our confidence in God. Causes us to lose our perspective so that instead of focusing on the faithfulness of God, we focus on what looks to be the failings of God. God somehow didn't make life go like we thought it should. And so there are shadows of despair that hover over us, but God has brought you here today in this service to hear a word from God. Brother, I want you to know that God knows where you are. And God knows what you're going through. And He understands the valley that you're walking in. And God wants to bring you out of the valley and put you on the heights. God wants you to walk on the high places. The songwriter said it like this: I'm going to walk right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. Ain't I gonna let old Satan get me down? Why do I sit here till I die? Heaven's awake a little bit higher. I'm gonna walk out of this valley with my Lord. And some of you here this afternoon need to make up your mind by the grace of God. I'm gonna walk out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord, and give glory to the God who's watched after me and took care of me and provided for me and come through in prayer for me. I'm going to keep on trusting Him. God has never let us down. Hallelujah. Sometimes we lose our perspective. Sometimes our faith gets weak. Sometimes, like Habakkuk, we are disappointed with God, but we can talk to God and God can talk to us, and we can delight ourselves in the Lord, and God will put our feet on high places. Habakkuk didn't place any conditions on his commitment to delight in the Lord. He said to the Lord, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. But even if all of these things happen, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Brother, I know what it is to walk through the valley of despair. I know what it is to be in the valley of trouble. I know what it is to feel the clouds hanging low over your head. I know what it is to tell God in that valley, God, I'm going to keep on praising you. Whatever happens in this valley, whatever happens to me, if it destroys me, I'm going to keep on praising God and honoring the name of the Lord. Brother, I'm telling you, God brought me out of the valley, and He'll bring you out of the valley. If you'll keep on praising Him, don't put no conditions on your worship of God, and keep on worshiping God. And if it fails, if everything around you fails, and we're still going to keep on praising God. Hallelujah. We're going to still keep on worshiping God. He placed no conditions on His commitment to delight in the Lord. We cannot place any conditions on our move from the valley to the mountaintop. We're going to let the Lord know we're going to delight in the Lord. We're going to give praise unto God. We're going to give honor to His name. In our family, we're going to keep on bragging on God. We're going to keep on telling our children God is great. And we're going to keep on letting our neighbors know that the Lord is good. And it doesn't matter what's going on in our life. And if trouble is all about us, but we still believe, we trust Him. This is a mountaintop experience. This is how we walk on the high places. We delight ourselves in the Lord. The psalmist said it like this, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Brother, sometimes we come to God with such a despairing cry, wondering if God will help us in our time of need. God don't want you coming to Him with despairing cry. God wants you to come to Him with confidence. I remember, God, what you did for your people. I remember how you've come through for me. I remember how you've blessed in my home. I remember how that you've taken care of us in difficult times. Oh, yes, brother. God has been there for us. And God wants us to get our perspective on those wonderful things that God has done in our life and turn us from our despair and put joy in our hearts and make us to walk on the high places with God. I want to tell you something. You can live in the high places. You know, sometimes we think, well, Lord, how long can I stay here in the high places, breathing the rare atmosphere, living where we've got clear vision, living in the blessings of the Lord? How long can I stay here? Well, the Bible says, Habakkuk said, He will make me to walk upon my high places. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. You know what hinds' feet, deer feet? Sure-footed. He's going to make me sure-footed. So when I get in slippery places, I can keep on climbing. I can keep on running in the high places with God. I can stay in the heights. And God will give us sure-footedness. You know, the devil's going to do his best to bump you off the high place. And so the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 73, this is how he opened that psalm. He said, my feet had well nigh slipped. But he went to the house of God. Hallelujah. Satan was trying to make him slip from his high places. But he went to the house of God. He heard the word of God. He saw the vision of God. And God spoke to him. And he regained his footing. I'm telling you, God can give us hinds feet so that we can stay in the high places and keep on worshiping God and keep on rejoicing in the Lord. God will give you hinds feet so that you can rejoice in the Lord, live in the heights and give God glory in your life. Hallelujah. Oh, I know you've had troubles and problems. I know there are people sitting right here this day that I know you well enough to know. Satan has sought to destroy your faith, come against you hard, threatened you. But I'm telling you, God has given us a promise. Hallelujah. We can move out of the valley onto the mountaintop. Hallelujah. By just recovering our perspective on God. God's greatness, God's goodness. And God can put us into high places and cause us to rejoice in the Lord. In spite of all the bad things that are happening in our life, we can live in the high places. You remember, while Sister Judy comes to the piano, you remember those two disciples on their way to Emmaus on Resurrection Day? Walking along, discussing the events of the crucifixion and the news that they had heard that morning about an empty grave. The Bible says they walked along and were sorrowful. They did not know what to make of all the things that they had been experiencing. They thought Jesus was going to be their Messiah and give the kingdom back to them. And instead, he's crucified. He's dead. They heard about an empty tomb, but they don't know what to make out of it. While they're walking down the road, sorrowful, talking to themselves, among themselves, as a stranger joins himself to them and asks them this question, "What are you talking about while you walk along and are sad?" And they said, "Have you not heard the things that have been going on in Jerusalem?" And they began to lay out their case, their reason for being so sorrowful. And we all think we've got reason to be, don't we? They begin to lay out their case for being so sorrowful. And as they walk along, listen to this. Jesus began to open to them their understanding of the Scriptures. While Jesus is talking to them and opening to them their understanding of the Scriptures, they get to their house and this person that's joined himself to them acts like he's going to keep on going and say, "Oh, no, we want you to come in with us." And so this stranger goes home with them, sits down at the table. They're going to eat a meal together. And that stranger takes the bread and breaks it, gives it to them to eat. They remember somebody else that did that. Broke bread, handed it to his disciples. The Bible says all of a sudden they realized who that was. That was Jesus. The news they'd heard that morning about an empty grave was just confirmed to them. Jesus was alive. He was resurrected. Things were not as bad as they thought. Hallelujah. Because there's an empty grave. Jesus has come out of the grave. He's resurrected. Those same two disciples turn around, head back to Jerusalem. They're not, no tears now, no sad stories now. They're headed back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples, "We saw him. He's really alive. He's resurrected. We know Jesus is not there. He's alive. He's really real. We saw him for ourselves." The joy of the Lord is in their hearts. Life has suddenly changed for them since they saw the resurrected Lord and realized he just won the victory over death and hell and the grave. Brother and sister, I'm telling you this morning, no matter what you're going through, Jesus will join you on your road and change the conversation. They said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us?" Wow, there was something about the words that he spoke and the words that God is speaking to you this morning. God is wanting to birth faith in your heart so you can move out of that valley and dwell in the heights of the mountains, worshiping God, praising God, and giving glory and honor to Him. Hallelujah. Oh, I can tell some of you don't feel like doing that. I said, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been having to undergo. How you telling me? You're telling me you've not been where I've been. How you telling me to praise God, to honor God, to bless God when you've not been where I've been? No, I've not been where you've been, but you ain't been where I've been either. And I want to tell you something. It works. Whoever you are, wherever you are, it works to keep on worshiping and praising and honoring God. Giving glory and honor to the name of Jesus, brother. You can ascend the heights this morning. You can walk the high hills. The Bible tells us, well, I just got to read it to you. Isaiah chapter 40. Listen to this. Oh, listen to this. The prophet says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Listen, he giveth power to the faint. Is that you? You feel that your strength is gone? He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. He's never tired. He's never weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. He gives strength to those that have no might. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young man shall utterly fall. Regardless of how healthy and strong they are, without their trust in God, they fall. But there's a difference. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Brother, God's wanting somebody to soar today. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God's wanting somebody to climb today. God's wanting somebody to get sure-footed on the high places today. God wants to inform somebody that you can walk on the high places. That God will give you hinds feet. You can walk on the high places. I said, God wants somebody to understand you can walk on the high places. Hallelujah. Well, I think we need a dialogue with God. I think we need a time around this altar where we let God know, hey, God, this is where I'm at. But I know where you want to put me. And I'm ready to go. Ready to reach for the heights. I'm ready to walk the heights. Ready to live in the heights. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to praise the name of Jesus. Let's stand together.